Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
I'm from Bisbee. I grew up in Bisbee. Literally lived in Naco, little tiny town, 2 blocks away from the Mexican border. Actually started school in Naco, Sonora. And we were there yesterday. But I also lived in Tucson. I went to a Catholic church here, a Catholic school, St. John's Catholic School, here in Tucson many, many years ago. And when I left Bisbee, I actually got saved in the tail end of the Jesus movement in 1976. I've been walking with passion for over 40 years as I've walked with the Lord. But when I left Bisbee in 1972, and I went to San Diego. I'm just going to be very honest with you. It's been very hard to leave San Diego and come back to Arizona. I love San Diego. I love San Diego. And God has just opened up so many doors. We've had so many things in San Diego. I had a television ministry, radio ministry. We had a training center downtown San Diego where we had teams going out all over San Diego County, Fridays and Saturday nights. My brother, Cesar Ochoa, literally was a big part of that. We served together. We worked together in San Diego for many, many years. And we're still just ministering. And it was in, I had gone to South America numerous times, many countries in South America, Central America, been to Oaxaca, Mexico. I speak Spanish fluently. And the Lord in 2004, I was in a church service. And there was a team going to Kenya. I'll be totally honest with you. I was not interested in Africa. Not interested in Africa. I was so used to going to Rome. I've been to Romania. I've been many countries in Europe. Been to Romania 5 times. And the Lord spoke to me. My brother Cesar was actually going on that trip. And the Lord spoke to me as I was getting in my vehicle and starting to head home. And the Lord spoke to me and says, I want you to go on this trip and take the material you have. At that time, I had 3 manuals. You know, I a lot of times I tell people, I am a soul winner. But I'm not just a soul winner, I'm a discipler.
Yeah.
Because I'm very honest with you, I have a lot of evangelist friends. It's not that difficult to go pray a prayer with somebody. It's a whole different story when you actually commit to discipling someone and make sure they get planted in the church, growing and maturing. That's where the work begins. That is what we see in Scripture. The Gospel of Mark says go preach the gospel, Jesus said. But in Matthew, he said, go make disciples. They work together. They have to. They have to. So I've got some material back there if anybody's interested. I did bring some things. I do have a book on evangelism I did not bring. I have it there if anybody's interested. That came out in 1984. But in the 90s, the Lord started really, dealing with me about discipleship. I've always been a part of follow-up and ministering to people and planting them. I've learned a lot through the years. So I have two manuals on discipleship. This one here literally has taken off. This is the one that God is just opening up so much. And in 2004, I started writing on discipleship in the 90s. I've got 2 manuals on discipleship. And the reason they're in manual form is because I give permission to the one that buys it to copy the material, especially the lessons, and continue to disciple other people. And in 2004, when the Lord told me to go to Kenya, there was a missionary from Kenya that was in San Diego. I called him. I had his number. Called him, Kenua. And I said, Kenua, you need to come have dinner. We're going to talk. I need to talk to you. He came over. We sat in the back porch in my yard in San Diego, Poway. And I said, Kenua, what is the greatest thing that is needed in Africa today? He did not hesitate. He said, the pastors need training materials. They need to be trained up. I knew It was just like a confirmation because the Lord told me, take what you have. And through the years, as I've been going, my brother, sister, and I went, and in 2004, we had about 50 pastors that we worked with. We went in 2005, it increased to about 150. In 2000, and I kept increasing the number of books I was taking. 2009, I took 750 of these. 2010, I was in Namibia. We went to South Africa. And then it continued on. This last trip, what you saw in the video, I just got back from Tanzania and from Kenya. We had 1,200 leaders in Tanzania. I have this in the Swahili language. And then recently, God has just been opening doors. It's funny you said that, but I don't look at myself. Praise God, whatever God wants to do. But it was interesting because there was the Prince of Zambia that was ministering in San Diego, and he prayed for me. He says, you have an apostolic calling to Africa. I said, well, praise God. Whatever God wants to do, I just want to be his servant. And the doors continue to open. Recently, not too long ago, met with a pastor from Nigeria. Never been to Nigeria. And the conversation went to print this material in the Nigerian language, which is going to be completed this month. I plan to go to Nigeria in November for 2 weeks. We're going to be printing. He wants to print 1,000 of these. He's there today. He's there right now preparing the churches and the leaders in Nigeria, central Nigeria, for me to come in November with the material to bring training to that part of Africa. I really need your prayers there because there I have had several people just tell me what's going on in Nigeria. There's a lot of killing, a lot of churches, you know, the Islamic State is just doing a lot of things and just really hurting a lot of churches and pastors and missionaries in Nigeria. So I've been really seeking God. I said, I need to make sure I hear correctly from you. But as far as right now, I plan to be there first 2 weeks in November. Keep me in your prayers for that. But God continues to open doors for me in Africa. And God has given me amazing favor to the leaders. I go and I train leaders. I go and I train pastors and bishops. And a lot of reformation is taking place in Africa. Because when I go, I'm very, very blunt, very honest, because there's so many traditions in Africa that God has given me the ability to work with them and change, which many of them have already. And God is just really transforming a lot of the churches and what He wants from the churches, from the body of Christ in Africa. They're precious people. They're precious people. They love the Lord. But they need training. And God has given me the ability to go and train. And then also, there are some, I have two books that I've published. I'm actually working on a third book. The one I'm working on is my sixth book that I've written. This is an autobiography. This is actually a story of my life here. I tell a story growing up without a dad in Bisbee, Arizona. My dad was there. I loved my dad, but I didn't grow up with my dad. My aunts and my grandmother raised me. I knew who my dad was. But I needed a father to be with me, to raise me up. And I tell the story of what happened here in my life. And what the Lord did, when I got to have three major breakthroughs, what the Lord did to bring salvation to me, what the Lord did in my life that really transformed me, and what God has done in the last 40-some years to keep that passion. I subtitle it, Keys to Living with Passion. But this is what this one is. This book here, I'll tell you a story in a few minutes here of what took place with that other book, Jesus of Nazareth. But Africa is on God's heart. So is Tucson. And God wants to raise us up to be all that He has called us to be. I want to share a couple quick things with you. It was interesting. This trip here has been unlike any other trip I've taken because God has absolutely stretched me like no other trip. I've taken numerous trips to different countries. And I don't really need this, but I'm just going to put it here. Just give some thought that I wrote down. I needed a lot of money for this last trip. I needed about $15,000, which is a lot more than normally I need for any trip I've taken. There was a prophetic word that was given in San Diego, and I go to some meetings by Jeremy Miranda Nelson, the Fire and Glory Outpouring, they call it. It is literally live streamed all over the world. A lot of miracles, a lot of prophets go there. And so I was at this meeting, and Jeremy Nelson stood me up and said, this was his words as he spoke from the Lord, that God had given me such favor in Africa. In fact, he said, you have continental glory for Africa. And God is going to open up not just one country, but many, many countries in Africa. And he goes on and on and on and on. And he says, and God's going to provide the funds for every trip you take. I received that. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, Pastor Henry, my brother, saw that video, that prophetic word. And the Lord spoke to me and we met. And he said, I want to help fund this trip. Because I have some people, some friends, I have family, friends that support me. I have to trust that God is going to provide everything he needs every time I go anywhere. I'm retired. I retired from, as an operating engineer, I operated heavy equipment. A backhoe, excavators, dozers, loaders, trenchers, on and on. Any kind of Caterpillar, John Deere equipment, I was on it. And after 42 years, I said, that's it, I'm done. I want to do full-time, in, even though I was already involved, but work takes a lot of my time. I want to just concentrate on the things of God. So I was blessed when I found out Pastor Henry and your church were going to help me. I was in a meeting in San Diego. Miranda Nelson was ministering. She had just got back from Dubai. She travels all over the world. They both do. She had just got back from Dubai. And she said, all day long, I've been getting this 11-11. Just constantly popping up, 11-11. And so she preached a message that night on the double portion. Elijah, Elisha, the double portion anointing. And that night, my grandson and myself went home. I pulled up my cell phone and I opened it up and it was 11:11 at night. I look, hey Clay, check this out. He goes, oh, that's great, Grandpa. You know, he's on fire for God. He's up at Bethel right now going through the school of ministry, on fire for the Lord. Anyway, that night and almost every single night, I would wake up and my clock projects the time on the ceiling. I don't have to get up. I just look up and I see what time it is. And I opened my eyes. It was 1:11, 3:11, 5:11. On and on and on and on. This 11 kept kicking in. You know, God speaks to us in so many different ways. God shows you what he's trying to teach you in so many different ways. So I started paying attention to this. I said, God, what are you trying to teach me? And it took me to Hebrews 11:11. We're talking about Sarah. You have it on the screen. Talking about Sarah. I took Sarah out and put myself in there. Sarah received strength to conceive seed, but delivered of a child because she judged him faithful that promised. And I knew what God was trying to show me. God, you're faithful. I trust you. I trust you. I thank you. And then as time went on, I had dinner with an evangelist friend of mine in San Diego. He's actually on Heidi and Roland Baker's team, Iris Global International. And we had dinner one night. He's very good friends with Lou Engel and Bethel and Bill Johnson and all these people. And we had dinner one night. We were talking. He said, I got a scripture for you. I said, really? Okay. What is it? It was Deuteronomy 1:11. Okay, again, you know, talking about, you know, God is going to multiply to the children of Israel 1,000 times more than what you are. Okay, I received that. Time went on. Again, I kept seeing consistently 11-11 or 1-11 kept popping up everywhere I went. Everywhere I went. I was at a Fire and Glory outpouring one night. There was a prophet by the name of Bobby Connor was ministering. And good message, enjoyed it. He's back at the book table selling his books. I wasn't interested in buying a book. And I'm just going back and forth. Do I want his book? I don't want his book. Do I want a book? I don't want his book. And I stood there and I said, I'm going to get his book. Stood in line, walked up front, purchased his book, The Shepherd's Rod, gave it to him to sign it. I'm so glad I bought his book. He signs it, Psalms 65:11 and Psalms 84:11. I'm going, okay, God, I praise God. And it just so ministered to me. Psalm 65:11 just touched my heart. It's talking about, you know, that this year, or you crown the year with your goodness. And the Amplified says, and your bounty. And the path, and the Amplified says, the path of your chariot wheels drop fatness. Fatness is the word dashin in the Hebrew. And the word dashin literally means to be fat, juicy, prosperous, anointed. It is the same word that is used in Psalm 23. Where it says, thou anointest my head with oil. It's the same word. It's dashin. And I looked at that and I'm going, and you know, God, I received that. I received that. But I looked at it as the, God was just crowning this year for me. And of course, Psalm 84:11, you know, God will not withhold, I will not withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly. Minister to me. Not too long after that, there was a friend of mine, her name's Apostle Mariah, African-American friend of mine that lives in the Riverside area. I've known her for a long time, her and her husband. She sends me a text on WhatsApp. And she says, I have a scripture, Psalm 65:11. And she goes on saying, expect this year to be a year of fatness for you, a year of blessing for you, a year of prosperity for you, because God is not going to do little things in you. He's going to do fat things in you. He's going to do anointed things in you. And she goes on and on and on. And it's like I knew God was getting my attention. And every morning I would get up, I said, God, I judge you faithful. I judge you faithful. And I knew what I needed for this last trip. I never asked anyone for money because I received a word from this church, from Pastor Henry. We're going to help fund your trip. Praise God. 4 weeks go by, 3 weeks go by, 2 weeks go by, I had nothing. I'll be totally honest. There was a church in San Diego that had given me $1,000, and then our church, the church I attend, I attend an Assembly of God church, big church. I'm actually licensed with the Assemblies. Have been for many years. I've been ordained since 1981, but in 92 I switched my credentials to the Assemblies because that's where the where God put me. 2 weeks go by, 2 weeks before I left. I had my airfare, is what I'm saying. I bought my airfare. That was secure. But I needed a lot more than that. 1 week before I left, I was leaving from LAX. I had nothing. God, I judge you faithful. I judge you faithful because you promised. I judge you faithful. You are the faithful God, and I would pray and intercede and re-quote the scriptures that were given to me. And Psalm 65:11, I would quote him. Hebrews 11:11, I would quote it, and I would bring it back to the Lord. And it was 3 days before I was getting ready to board my aircraft in LAX. I had nothing. And I had contacted Pastor Henry. I wasn't going to, I didn't want to bug my brother. Say, brother, you told me. No, I was not going to do that. I was going to God, saying, Lord, you know what I need. And my brother had told me that the money had been held up at the bank. And I just kept praying, God, release it. God, release it. God, release it. 2 days before I left, it was a Tuesday midday. I was at eating at a, I don't know if you have them here, Soup Plantation in San Diego. My son, my daughter-in-law. Pastor Henry calls me. I step outside. You know how grateful I was for your phone call, my brother. It was such a, because I knew it was had to have been a good thing, you know. And I go outside. I go, Pastor Henry, what's happening? He goes, my brother, they just released the funds. How can I get the money to you? So we arranged it to where he could wire, because it was already too late to send a check. It was already too late. We couldn't do that. We worked it out that night, Tuesday night. I went to my son's Bible study. He's a very anointed young man. In fact, one of his books is out there. He just released it last week. The week old. Fuel the Fire. I brought a few copies with me. Tuesday night, I received a check from Faith Chapel that came from this church. So grateful. Wednesday morning, the day before I left, took the check to the bank. And you know how that works. When you have a large check, they usually have to put a hold on it. But God has given me amazing favor at the bank that I have. The manager of the bank says, I know you. There is no problem here. I will give you the money. And I went ahead and cashed it. And I had the money in my hand the day before I left. It was an amazing story to me because God stretched me. Stretch me. And we were able to do what you saw in the video. 1,200 liters. We printed 1,000 copies. At first, there was not enough. We printed another 200. And then in Kenya. And then I also appreciate, because when we were in Kenya, from the very first meeting that we had in Defafa, which is in the Embu area, 2 hours north of Nairobi, very first meeting, I started ministering to pastors 10 o'clock in the morning. There was a lady that came to that meeting. And I went to lay hands on her, and boy, she started throwing punches and kicks. I was backing up, put my hands up. She went full on demonic. Her eyes rolled back and she came after me. I put my hands up, and the lady, it's funny the way they do something, they grabbed her and bam, slammed her to the ground and held her down. She was kicking, screaming, yelling. I went on ministering to other people. A few minutes later, she's on the ground. I put my hands on her hands, my other hand on her head, and I commanded that spirit to leave. In about 10 seconds, she gave a loud cry, and she was set free. And that came on a video. But I have the whole video. It was all captured on video. And then she sat up. She didn't know where she was at. Next day, she's serving in the church. And that happened at every single meeting. We had 4 meetings. We were doing open-air meetings in Nairobi. We literally rented a gospel truck. You saw that in the video. We're doing open-air preaching in Nairobi in front of all the people. And then in Embu, right on the side of the road, in Embu County, right on the side of the road, they set up a stage, and that's where I was at ministering. And then we would go into a church and minister to the leaders. But every single meeting we had, people were demonized and getting set free. I was told that when they find out that we're coming, the witch doctors literally walk the grounds and just prepare the ground so that we would be ineffective. Well, the second night, people were still getting healed. I was praying for people, and people were walking up on the platform and testifying. And we had people getting saved and healed. But the second night is when we there are still things that were happening that were good. But the second night, after I left the meeting, because I would go back to the house I was staying at, and then I would prepare for the next day because I had an early ministry time the next day. And many of the people would go to the church and worship. There was a big black snake that went into the church. This is a tropical area. You think of Africa being all dry. This is a tropical. This is the base of Mount Kenya. Very green and lush. My brother's been there. Big black snake got into the church, bit a lady. They rushed her to the hospital. That night, 1 o'clock in the morning, I heard a knock on my door. There was a lot of commotion going on in the house. I heard a knock on my door. I didn't know who it was. A friend of mine that went with me, you saw him in the video, the long dreads. He used to play with Ike and Tina Turner a long time ago. He's a musician. He got saved, and he, you know, when Ike and Tina broke up, he stayed with Ike Turner, and then he left because of what was going on in his life. Got saved, came out. He went with me on the trip, and his room got like 100 degrees, and he came out, knocked on my door. And he didn't say nothing, so I didn't know what was going on. I didn't answer. He walked into the living room. His room was like 100. He said, I couldn't breathe. He came back, went into his room, and there was this loud explosion. The water tank, I'm assuming it's like a 10,000-gallon water tank, sits up high about 50 feet in the air, exploded 1 o'clock in the morning. So we knew. When I woke up next morning, I found out everything was going on, and I knew that we were under spiritual attack. I called my son. I said, we need prayer support. We're telling you what's going on. We need prayer support. And so I praise God that your church lifted us up. We had tremendous breakthrough after that. There were many churches in San Diego that lifted us up. My family were lifting us up. The following night is when a lady that was bringing witchcraft material to the meetings was exposed. She gave her life to Christ. We burned the material. I had one person that had gotten in a motorcycle accident, could not walk, laid hands on him, the pain went away. I walked him around, released him. He was totally back to normal next day. A lady was completely paralyzed from her waist down, got up and started walking the last night that we were there. An amazing breakthrough. And the pastor, after I left, told me that at least 66 people, and I praise God for 66 people, got planted in their church because of the 4 days that we did ministry. And he sent me, Pastor Daniel, Bishop Daniel, sent me a text recently. It said the churches continue to flourish in that area. I'm so grateful to the Lord for giving me that opportunity to be a part of what he did there. But I want to share a scripture with you that that's literally been on my heart that I pray will minister to you. And it's in the, going back again to Psalms chapter 84. And this has been an area that has just really touched my heart. I've studied it. And I want to share it with you this morning. I believe this is what God is bringing to me, to you. Psalm 84 is a precious psalm. It talks about a person that you know, has a desire for God, being in the house of the Lord. And then in verse 6, I want you to listen to my heart. I've heard many messages on this subject here. Who passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a well. I looked up the word make there in the Hebrew. I love studying words that are in Scripture. I'm an old King James guy. I love looking at my old King James and just digging into every part that I can find that has the original meaning to it. The word make there is asa, A-S-A-H. It's literally 6213 in your Strong, so I look it up. And it means literally to make, to construct, to build. And I began to look at this, and I began to understand. So many times when we're going through something in our life, we pass through the valley of Baca and we remain there. But the scripture teaches us to turn it into a well, make it a well. See, a well is a place of refreshing. It's a place of nourishment. It's a place of comfort. We look at that. See, there's many people in this church here. You have amazing potential God has placed in you. See, because when you got saved, God already knew what he could do with you. He literally has placed every bit of potential in you when you came to Christ. He develops that. He works it out to and draws it out to bring to fulfillment everything that he's already placed in you. It is in you. He knows what he can accomplish through you. So early in your walk with the Lord, he plants seeds in you. He plants dreams in you. He plants prophetic words in you. He gives you promises that he gives you for a purpose, because he's given you direction of what he wants to do in your life. He gives you a vision of what he wants you to do, and we go forward. See, and what I felt the Lord was telling me on this Sunday morning is, when we go through the valley of Baca, make it a well. Turn it into a well. But what you need to do is make it a well. based out of what God has given to you in your life. Your prophetic words, your dreams, your seeds, your visions, your promises. Many of you have been given promises by God. You've been told specific things that God has put in your heart. And what I have felt that the Lord wanted for this morning is we're in a year of fulfillment. Yeah. This is a year of fulfillment. I saw myself years ago, decades ago, ministering in different countries and those countries using my material to benefit their churches. What do I know about writing? I barely finished high school in Bisbee. I literally had to get out with a GED and barely passed that. I was so messed up on drugs and alcohol when I was in Bisbee High School. I went to Douglas High School for a year. I was a mess. That whole area of my life, I was self-medicating because I was so much hurt and insecurity and fear and stuff that was in here. And this is one of the challenges that you know, my book brings out. One of the breakthroughs that God gave me. I got saved. I learned. I grew to the point to where I would accept myself. But thirdly, God challenged me to be a leader. Because I was a follower. I was like everybody else. I basically did what everybody else wanted to do. And God challenged me. I was a biker. Yeah. I had a beautiful, in fact, there's a picture in the book. I had a beautiful 59 Panhead. I still have a Harley. I love riding. I have a beautiful touring bike, Alta Classic touring bike that I love to ride. But back then I had a chopper. And it was one party after the next. And basically, even that motorcycle became a head trip for me. It became a self-medicating thing that happened to me, that I needed that rush. I needed that part of my life. And the Lord, when I got saved in 1976, I had a lot of biker friends. We knew some Hells Angels. We knew several bikers, and we rode in many areas around San Diego County. Long story, I'm not going to get into that. Read the book. I tell the story, what happened. But I had some biker friends of mine, big guys, that literally after I got saved and I told the Lord, I take your challenge. You're trying to make a leader out of me. And they would come over to my house. And the first thing that they would do is they would roll up a joint, a marijuana cigarette. Light it up. And pass it to me. I had a decision to make. I said, no. They would smoke it. They would come back another day, take out a bottle of whiskey, roll up a joint, pass it to me. No. What's wrong with you? And it was so funny, this one guy, this big biker guy, this one guy looks at me and goes, what do? You go to church now? And God challenged me to be a leader in the body of Christ. God challenged me. And there's people here that you have leadership skills. You have areas in your heart that God is challenging you to step out. But God wants to clean up. God wants to take out what you don't need that'll keep you stifled. In your walk with God, you have to be so tenacious about your walk with God that you're going to say, God, I want everything you have for me. Don't leave nothing out. And I grew and I absorbed the Word of God. I love the Word. I love teaching the Word of God. I'm a student of the Word. And God just opened doors. I started writing. What do I know about writing? I started writing. Came out with a book. And in 1984, there was a Christian newspaper in San Diego called Good News, etc. And the editor of the newspaper, we were in an outreach. And he saw what we were doing. He came up to me. He said, would you be interested in becoming a columnist for the newspaper on evangelism? And I looked at him and I said, absolutely. And I wrote for that Christian newspaper for 20 years. I was a columnist. Every month I would write an article on evangelism. And God just started prepping me for what he wanted. And I started writing. When you're passing through something in your life, turn it into a well over your prophetic words, over your promises, over your seeds, over the visions and the dreams that God has given to you. In Genesis chapter 26, we see Isaac going and he was redigging those wells that had been covered up by the Philistines. And he would go and redig them again and find another one that had been covered up by the enemy and redig them again. And there's people here that God has literally dug up a well in your life and you've allowed it to sit and stay in the ground. You've covered it up with earth. And God is saying to you, redig that well. Redig it. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how old you are. You have areas in your life that God wants to raise up again and resurrect it and bring it again. Because we're not, I am retired, but I am so refired in the things of God. And there are people here that God wants to get you back on your track, on the right track of what God wants to do through you. To reach this community and touch those around you. Redig those wells. Turn that well into the dreams and the seeds and the visions that God has given to you. Let me share something with you. Going back to Psalm 84. I want to look at verse 7. It says they go from strength to strength. And it goes on from there. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I started looking at this. And I looked at the word strength there. Jail in the Hebrew. And it literally means power, strength, army, might. But see, usually when I study, I don't stop there. I go to the original root meanings. Because it is the original root meanings that literally bring clarification to a specific word that God is trying to tell you. And this is what I found in this scripture. Really ministered to me. Chayil. The root word is C-H-U-W-H. Is the meaning there. And what that literally means is to turn in a circle, to spin, to be in labor, to give childbirth, to produce, to bring forth, to be in labor pangs. It is being pregnant with something. My brother in Christ, have you ever been pregnant, sir? Yes, you have. Absolutely. It was funny when I was in Tanzania, we must have had 30, 40 pastors on the platform. I'm up front with the bishop and I'm preaching and I went up to one of the main pastors and I asked him that question. He's shaking his head, goes, No. I said, Brother, my pastor friend, are you pregnant? No. And then I went on preaching. See, because God will impregnate you with his vision. God will impregnate you with his dream. God will impregnate you with the seed that he wants to produce something through your life. We have such a short life, a vapor. I have the same evangelist friend of mine that I had dinner with that gave me Deuteronomy 1:11. He was on a missions trip with YWAM in South Africa. He fell off a mountain and died. 24 years old. Devastated. You don't know how much time God is giving each and every one of us. We have one life to live. Do it to the fullest that you can. You bring before God. See, I want to leave a mark in humanity. I want to leave a mark in the kingdom. I want to make sure that I impact and influence as many people as possible on this earth before I go home. But you, many of those dreams and many of those visions and many of those promises that God has given to you, what we do, God gives us something and we sit and wait. We do nothing. God impregnates you and we do nothing with it. You need to birth it. You need to birth it. See, Paul says in Galatians 4:19, I travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Let me tell you what happened. When I was working in Irvine, California at the university there. I was with the same company for 37 years as an operating engineer. I was driving home. The foreman was driving. I was on the passenger side. Had my head up against the window looking outside. And I hear these words. I knew it was God. You're about ready to give birth. I knew what that meant. Praise God. Okay. So, finished a job in Irvine. Worked in San Diego for about 3 weeks. My work dried up, 2008. Remember when the economy tanked in 2008? Well, it hit our company hard. I sat home for 6 months. And I'm not one to sit home and do nothing, so I started interceding. I told the Lord, I am going to birth. I'm going to do something with what you have placed inside of me. So I started praying. 2 hours in the morning, I would get up and I would intercede for 2 hours in the morning and 1 hour before I went to bed every night. And God would wake me up faithfully at 2 o'clock in the morning every night and I would intercede for an hour. I did that for 4 months. I was interceding for 4 hours a day. Then I get a phone call. My boss wanted me to go work up in LA in Laverne, California, which is an Inland Empire. I was so grieved because I honestly thought God was going to just push me into full-time ministry. Didn't happen. Didn't want to do it, but I knew my bills were piling up. That night, the night that I was going to leave, I would have had to have stayed in a hotel. Didn't want to do it. That night, I struggled. And I felt this tangible peace come over me. So felt it so strongly. It's like God was saying, trust me. Next day I went to work. I found out I was going to be there for like a year and a half. Started looking for a hotel. I would look at this one. I didn't feel it was God. No. I ended up 11 miles away from the job site when I could have been a few blocks away. The Lord kept telling me no. I ended up in a hotel. It was a Days Inn in Ontario, California. The owner of that hotel was from Uganda. I've been to Uganda. Long story short, the time I was there, I ended up leading him to Christ. I ended up, he had a huge back problem. Pray for him. God healed him, brought him to Christ. And the whole time that I was on that job site, there were hundreds of workers there, many different companies. And I ministered to foremen. I ministered to people. They knew who I was as a Christian, as a believer, as a minister. And I remember one day I was on a backhoe riding around. And I saw this company truck coming towards me from a different company. Came to me and stopped me. Shut off the backhoe. He goes, I just want to tell you something. Your presence carries weight. Got back in his truck and he drove off. I looked at that and I'm going, praise God. The anointing, just the presence. Weight, the word for weight is just the glory. So glory just means the weight of God. The weighty glory of God. Just that presence of God. God had been using me there tremendously. Long story short, I went to work, got myself settled in. 2 weeks later, my daughter calls me, says, Dad, I bought you a laptop. I didn't own a laptop. I had a desktop computer. She says, Dad, I bought you a laptop. I said, okay, praise God. I'll give it to you when you come home on the weekend. Went home, got the laptop, went to work, didn't know what to do with it. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to start writing. Okay. I would go to the gym. I love working out. I would go to LA Fitness. I would go to a Salvadorian restaurant. I've been to El Salvador, right around the corner. And I would go back into my hotel room and I would put the laptop on my lap and the Lord began to direct me on what to write. Within 9 months, I had written and published this book, Jesus of Nazareth. Shortly after that, I started writing the other one, Faithful and Free. The time I was there, I had written and published 2 books. I was able to birth 2 books the time that I was there. And what I'm telling you, it didn't just happen. I spent 4 months on my knees before God interceding and birthing what God wanted to do in my life. God wants to do the same thing in yours. You really need to pour in and believe God for what He has. You know, I'm not here to put any, you know, between you and God, whatever. But I honestly want to say this. Don't take it in a wrong way. Take it as from the Lord. I have a hard time. Please, God, don't let it come across wrong. I have a hard time so many times with Christianity where the extent of our Christianity is we go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and that's all we do. That's not Christianity, it's religion. Christianity literally means you are going to impact by your lifestyle. Yes. By your lifestyle, yes. By your words, yes. By your actions. And this next book that I'm writing, I'm actually entitling it My Brother's Keeper. Because what I'm putting in this next book deals with how God, all the way back in the Old Testament, literally desired a nation that would listen to His voice and take heed to His commandments. And He basically said, and where I place you, I will place My name there. And where I place My name, My presence will be there. See, the interesting thing to all this, I have to ask a question. I know I want to close. I want to pray for people. I have to ask this question. Where's the power? Is it in the name of Jesus or is it in the name of Christ? You know, Christ is not His last name. Last names, my understanding of it, at least what I studied, came across around the 12th century, somewhere in there. Jesus did not have a last name. Where's the power? In the name of Jesus or in the name of Christ? We were in Kenya ministering, and I just kept sharing this. And it was so interesting because when I went back to the hotel, there was a group from Mexico there. And one of the pastors from Mexico, his name was Jesus. And the people I was with, they, brother, it's just like what you were teaching us. See, we use the name of Jesus because the enemy knows that we're talking about Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. But the reason I even bring that up is because the scripture says in Acts that they were first called Christ ones, Christians. You carry that name for a reason. You carry the name of Christ one, Christian, because you carry that authority. You carry the presence. You carry the power. You carry everything that God has implanted and freely offers you. You carry it. And when we know who we are in Christ, and we step out and do what God wants us to do, God does amazing things in the kingdom. When we understand, and when the enemy understands who we are, and it's a long story, I don't want to get into that. He knows what we carry, and He backs off. He has to. You submit to God, resist Him, and He flees. He has no choice. But you have to walk in that authority. You have to walk in that power. You have to walk in that realm. So the whole area that I'm just ministering to you this morning before we pray is that whole realm of fulfillment. Because God is literally wanting to fulfill those dreams. He is the dream giver and He is the dream fulfiller. He's the one that plants those seeds without those visions. Without a vision, the scripture says, we perish. You have to be pregnant with something that God has given to you and birth it. Birth it. Yeah. I love you guys, you know, and I am so grateful, Pastor Henry, Rosie. I before we pray, Henry, come up. Rosie, where are you at? Venga, por favor. This is just a little thank you gift from Kenya, Pastor Henry and Rosie. This literally, you know, and you know, it's funny though, because I looked at them going, is this it? One size fits all. But,
hey Henry, have to wear that to church. Right.
Gonna be, you're gonna get hot, brother, but yeah, put it on. But it is hot. And Rosie, again, I'm sorry if it's a little big, but this is for you. You're welcome. Anyway, I just want to say I love you guys, and thank you for just being faithful to the Lord. God did through you guys. I am going to, until the Lord takes me home, I will continue to be faithful. I will continue to be faithful to a faithful God that has been so tremendously faithful to me. And maybe I didn't get it. It'll fit. We're gonna get that child out of you, brother. Hang in there. But anyway, stand up here. Let's just pray. I want to pray for the people. But Father God, I just lift up this couple, my Lord God, and I want to thank you for what you're doing in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I just speak to them, Father God, in their faithfulness to you, Father God, use them in their faithfulness to you, Father God, open many doors. I speak much favor to you. I speak thank much you. Favor to you, thank Father, to this couple. I speak Isaiah 22:22 to you, that the doors, the keys of David that have been in your life, the keys of David, that he is the one that literally opens doors that no one else can open, closes doors no one can close. I speak this to your life in the name of Jesus, that if you, as you pursue him, I speak a clarity of mind in your heart and in your life in the name of Jesus. That not only through your through what you hear when you're awake, but I speak dreams, prophetic dreams to come into your life. That you will hear, that the Lord will direct you prophetically in your dreams. That you will hear clearly what God is saying through your dreams in Jesus' name. And then as God directs you, you move. But I thank you that, Father God, you've given this couple not only a precious family, my Lord, but a precious church, Lord God, to shepherd. I thank you for that, my Lord. I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. I pray for richness. Richness, Dashin, prosperity, anointing, a double portion, a double anointing, a double, an 11-11 anointing. To this couple, in the name of Jesus, I claim it for them.
Thank you.
Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for that. I thank you for that. Bendícelo, Señor mío. Curiana la mosaya terequiti. Bendícelo, Señor mío. Calamosica terequiti. Thank you, Father. Keep them healthy, Father God, in the name of Jesus.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Before we close, I want to pray for some people, but I want to say this first of all. If there's anyone here, first of all, you don't know, you're not right with God, you don't have a firm relationship. It could be just a recommitment of your heart, or it could be a first-time commitment. But you know you need to recommit that heart before the Lord. You know, I'm the type of guy, I have so many people that I know that will sit there and say, "Want everybody close your eyes, nobody looking." I'm not like that. I usually say, you know what, everybody looking around, is there anybody here that really you want the Lord to just, you know, it's just a prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to bring you up. I'm just going to pray for you. But if anybody really wants to recommit or make a fresh commitment unto the Lord, just raise your hand and I will pray with you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for being bold. Thank you, my friends. Thank you, mi hermano. Bendiciones a ti, mi hermano. Thank you. Gracias, mi hermano. Blessings, my brother. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, my sister. Thank you, my sister. I am going to say this. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. It's a recommitment of your heart. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. I am going to say this. Also, I would like to pray for anybody that really feels that you've had this, you know, gnawing in your spirit. You've had a dream. You've had something in you, this promise that you feel God has given to you. It could be decades ago. It could be a long time ago. And you want that. See, what I did, I did not give up. I would literally say, "God, you promised me 12 years ago, 20 years ago, you told me this. I would not let go of what God gave me 20 years ago. I would not let go." It drove me, because God is a God of fulfillment. And today, I'm seeing things that I saw 20, 30, 40 years ago in the spirit. And I'm seeing the fulfillment of that. Don't let go of your dreams. Don't let go of your visions. Whether it's grandchildren, children that need to get saved, that you're crying out to God for. Whether it's something that you believe that has to do with ministry. There is nothing too big that God cannot do in your life. And I want to pray, those of you that have this burning desire within you for God to fulfill certain things in your life, I want you to come up. I want to pray for you. And those of you that raise your hands for recommitment, come on up too and let me pray for you on that as well. And let's just mention that. But I just want to secure that prayer with you. But I want all of us to pray right now as a church body. Let's do this together, and then you guys come up, please. And then we're going to go ahead and secure that in a personal prayer. But everybody repeat with me. My Heavenly Father, I come to you as a sinner. And I repent, Lord. I am so sorry. Cleanse my heart. I believe in Jesus. And I recommit my heart to Jesus. Now, thank you, Lord, for bringing me to the place that you want me to be. I receive that. And I thank you for my salvation and for carrying me to the very end, in Jesus' name. Come on up and we'll pray for you. But those of you that have a